We gotta finish our minchah today.
And I have class 250, so we have to finish on time.
I think Jonas had a good question today.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me briefly summarize what we saw on Monday. So we saw three important distinctions when it comes to Aish. Generally, we could assume for the time being that these distinctions overlap or are meant to mirror each other. Although when we get to Aish later on in the Zman, we'll talk more about this. So the first is a distinction that appears in the Gemara, but is fleshed out by the Shulchan Aruch. Distinction between Madlik Birshuso and Madlik Birshus Chavero. So it matters where the fire is lit. We saw if you're Madlik in your own Rishus and the fire gets out of hand, when you took all the precautions, then you're Pater. But if you're Madlik Birshus Chavercha, even if you took the precautions, you're still going to be held liable. Right? And we saw a parallel distinction in the Aruch HaShulchan. This Aruch HaShulchan's distinction was not between your lighting in your Rishus versus lighting in your friend's Rishus, but it was about whether the fire was lit tashmishin, or whether the fire was lit with sreifa. Was it a purposeful fire or a destructive fire? The third distinction that we saw, and again, how much this is meant to map the earlier distinction is a question, is the distinction between an esh that's mishum chitzav, esh of mishum chitzav, and an esh that merely has the status of mishum mamona. Yeah, Isaac.
Is the distinction between destructive or purposeful, or non-destructive and destructive? Because you can have destructive, purposeful fires.
So I guess maybe I should say legitimate purpose, or he says lit tashmishin. So what does lit tashmishin mean?
Right. But I mean, like, if you're burning your field down because of that, it's good for the field, and probably you like farmers do
yeah.
all the time. So
sounds like you would think that counts as aceless straight up.
Right. It seems to be more like not like
so you want to say so it's a destructive fire versus a
contained
constructive? But constructive, like in your case of burning on the field, it's also constructive, but
still contained, like not you're not like doing it to like you're not like you're intending for it not to spread.
Right.
But, like you make like a bonfire, like you don't want it to
right. So maybe the more accurate description is then between destructive fire and non-destructive fire.
That's
a better way of translating into English. But his lashon in between Esa also the tashmishin versus Esha also the sreifa. His example of the sreifa is when you burn down a house.
Right.
Maybe even if it has a purpose. I think the main distinction that he has in mind is between like a really dangerous fire and a non-dangerous fire. I think that's what he's getting at. Okay, so everyone was fine with that? We saw that Rabban just had a very nice way of splitting this up directly, you know, also two categories of fire. So what I want us to take away from this is that when we talk about Aish, you really have to think about two different kinds of Aishes, not one category. It's called one thing, but that one Av belies two separate, not toldos, but two separate categories. So the next thing that we spoke about on Monday was how to understand Isho Mishim Chitza. We know it's Machlokas on Chav Bezim and Aleph, Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Isho is Mishim Chitza or Mishim Mamono. I wanted to suggest that there are two ways of understanding Isho Mishim Chitza. The first way is to say that it's really just an extension of Adam Hamazik. So you punch something with your hand, that's Adam HaMazik. You throw a rock at something and it harms or injures it, that's Adam HaMazik. You light a fire and the fire goes and destroys, that's Adam HaMazik. You know, like Isaac was saying on Monday, it's your Maisa in conjunction with like basic laws of physics. I think that's too broad, but the intuitive picture is there, right? It's considered your Maisa, right? So Isha Mishim Chitza takes us out of the category of Aish, and it brings us into the realm of Adam HaMazik. So it's not even a Nizkei Mamon Shaila anymore. Right? We're really in the category of Nizkei Adam because it's Koach HaAdam and Maisa HaAdam. That's one way of understanding Isha Mishim Chitza. Obviously that offers sufficient explanation for why you have L'chayev B'dal Dvarim, right? Because you're really dealing with a category of Azmahamazik. The other way, and this is the more novel way of interpreting Isha Mishim Chitzav, is to argue that really we're dealing with Nizkei Mammon, we're dealing with Eish. But because Eish is so dangerous, as the Ralbag had said in his formulation, just quote it once again.
When you say Eish, you mean Nizkei Mammon.
What?
When you say Eish, you mean Nizkei Mammon.
Nizkei Mammon, correct. Because it's Mimine HaHezekim HaYoser Chazakim, it's such a potent destructive force, Asher Yuchal Adam LaHashkes BoKol HaMedina, which could create vast destruction, so we artificially treat it as Adam HaMazik for the purposes of imposing stronger liabilities. So it's not because, oh, you did a Maisa in conjunction with basic laws of physics. No. The description of how the fire is lit, etc., Koach Acher Mirov Bo, determines that it's Nizkei Mammon, but because of this consideration about how dangerous it is, we treat it artificially as a category of Adam HaMazik, with certain dinim of Adam HaMazik, but this is all within the Mechaev of Eish. So it's not that we've come back to Nizkei Adam, no, we're in Nizkei Mammon, but for certain very dangerous Nizkei Mammons, we're going to have certain dinim of Adam HaMazik for the purposes of like stronger liability. Closely related to this side, or closely related to this argument, is something we have to analyze later in this man. So just, I introduce him now, but we should think about it later. Well, why is it that Adam HaMazik has all these chumras? Why does Adam HaMazik have L'chaya B'dval Dvarim, or L'chaya V'amisa, or L'chaya V'obein B'shogei B'ein B'ones? Why is Adam HaMazik liable for strict liability? So you might say, well, it's because it has a common theme to Aish in this case. Humans have great destructive capacities. And so the reason why there are surface similarities between Aish Mishim Chitzav and Adam HaMazik with its dinim is really because of some common external consideration about like how dangerous these things are. People can be very dangerous, and fires can be very dangerous. So the point here is just to show that we don't have to say that we're dealing with Adam HaMazik because he did a Maisa in conjunction with basic laws of physics, but rather it's Bitoras Eish that it has almost similar dinim to Adam HaMazik, and that's because the reason why Adam HaMazik has these dinim is because it shares a similar destructive characteristic with Eish. Is that clear? So obviously we have to reserve judgment on that until we analyze Adam HaMazik and like what the basis for Dini Adam HaMazik are. Anybody want to say something? Isaac?
When you said the question was about Tama and Ones are like good Nachmina, is that question whether Kishim Shim Pizza is bigger than Adam HaMazik?
So I'll get that in a minute. Yeah, that's what I'm going to speak about in the next 2 minutes. One way of motivating, so I think, I mean, my impression so far is that the Derech HaMelech is just to say that Ishu Mishim Chitzav is because it's a Maisa Adam, Koach Adam, and that's why you're liable. Right? I think that to be the more Mistaker Pshat. Is that your impressions also? Avram, is that your impression?
I thought the second one makes more sense because it's just so keeping you.
Yeah,
I get the impression
it's
Asian pizza
that
would be outside.
Asian?
Yeah,
okay.
I get that impression.
It's interesting. We'll see this later. Oh, what's the difference between Asian and Adam? Same thing, really. And the answer sometimes is just to say, well, the chiddush of the category is to tell you that. So the category of Asian is Mishum Mamono. That's a separate category of Asian. But the chiddush is that some cases of Asian rise to the level of Adam HaMazik. So, everyone could explain Nizkei Mamon of Eish, Betoras Eish HaMishim Mamona, when it's B'depasa Kocho, right? Kalu Chitza. Donnie, what's your impression? What's that?
I think it makes sense. So, I'm still developing.
Okay. Leah, what's your impression?
I mean, I think that the second approach is like incredibly a crudish way to lead the lives of Gemara, but it's very cool.
Very good. Thank you.
So you think
it's a big kiddish to say that Misha Pizza is something other than Adam Malazic.
I don't think that's inherently a kiddish. I think what's a kiddish is to say that this like idea of being a destructive force is enough of a consideration that it reclassifies the category of Malazic.
But to soften you up to the idea, I'm saying maybe also the reason why Adam Hamazik has such stringent dinim is because humans are destructive.
No, I agree. I told you this. I'm not having a lot on Monday. I would feel a lot more comfortable with that shot if Mara said, Isho Mishum Mano, Isho Mishum Adam. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't specifically see so. Chita seems to indicate it's Hafi Makoach Adam. The point is Dafka that it comes from the Koach Adam, so Chita comes from Koach Adam, and there's a disconnect.
All right, so we'll see one statement that should. That responds to that,
okay.
That issue. Good. So let me say a few things to motivate the idea that this is really a category of Eish that has dinim that are as chamor as Adam Hamazik. So the first thing is, remember the Gemara said on the Tzad, the Rishonim spoke about the Tzad, that Isho is Mishum Mamono. It doesn't mean Mamono Mamish against Rashi, because it's silly to think that you need actual bialos over the coals or the flame in order to be held liable. So they said, lav davka, the Sotosis formulation. It means that, you're mechayev mishum mamono in the same sense of shnei dvar meinim bershusa shalada. Right? It's not that you're actually require ownership, but it means that the Torah creates this liability, this category, or makes it your mamon in order to hold you liable. And Tosafot Peretz says something on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, which I think is consistent with the way Isaac wanted to read Tosafot on Daf Gimel. So Tosafot Peretz says, "V'hada Amar Mishum Mamono Lav Dafka, Halotz Lomar Takhalaso." It doesn't mean that Isho is Mishum Mamono. It means that Isho is Mishum Takhalaso. Right? You're responsible for your harms, your hazards that you create. Right? So I thought you could say something interesting that in the same way that Rishonim think that the Mamon Sad is really Mishum Takhalaso, so you could argue by symmetry that Isho Mishum Chitzav is also not because the Gemara is saying it is actually Adam Hamazik, but in the same way that the Rishonim think that Mishum Mamono is really Mishum Takhalaso, so Rabbi Yochanan holds Isho Mishum Chitzav because the Davar Hamashkes, Mishum Mashchiso. I'm saying that the Gemara says Mishum Chita, Mishum Amono.
Yeah.
And all the Mishonim look to say Mishum Amono is La Dafka.
Okay.
Right? So I think by symmetry, you could also argue that for Rabbi Yochanan, Isho Mishum Chita is La Dafka. It's meant to be Isho Mishum something more than Takalasa. Right? Mashchisa, if you take the Rabbah's formulation.
But it still makes sense because Mamono is a category. Chitzav isn't a category.
No, they're both categories. Chitzav is a category of Niskei Adam. One's a category of Niskei Adam, one's Niskei Mamono.
Is Chitzav typically used as a way to express Niskei Adam in other cases? Is that called Niskei Adam?
Yeah.
Because Mamono is how you express Niskei Mamono.
Right.
Chitzav is typically how I would assume at least it would express the idea of Niskei Adam. Unless I'm wrong, this is just how the Gemara typically refers to.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's especially in the way you. Especially on the normal understanding of Isha Misham Chitzav, yeah, Chitzav is a proxy for Mamono.
No, I understand you're arguing that, but I'm saying, is there any context outside of the context here of Ish that Chitzav is the way we refer to the general category
of Kofo? I think so.
But not even Kofo, Mazik is the point, it's beyond just Kofo.
Right. We'd have to look more broadly.
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure.
Was that a Does everybody see the suggestion?
Yeah,
Jonah?
We're trying to see that when you tell it is Mash. Yeah, when we're just the.
Yes, in the same way that they say Mishum Mamono, it doesn't mean
actual Mamono.
But the Takhalasa.
So you see
that. So Pizza, it just means something stronger than Takhalasa, meaning Mishum Mashkisa.
Have you seen any show that bought that with Pizza?
So I found the footnote of Hissei Ahoshan.
I think that's right against you.
Well, you'll see. Okay, so keep that in mind for the next thing that I go from this guy. He says, "Barisi b'shem efam me'arishon shakasas isha mishum chitza v'amru v'lo chitza mamish." So it sounds like he's. I don't know why he doesn't quote.
Because it's not real.
And I don't know why it says b'shem.
You married yourself just that.
No, it's not true. It's in there. I gave it my mom. This is the Kodesh and Perek test. That's right. Azulti's not here, so we're not going to consider his opinion today. So, but I think this is very nice. If we have to locate where which region to say that, well, I'll start looking for it. I think this is making a similar point to the point that I'm making, right? That Isho Mishim Chitza was really La Dafka. And I think the way it makes sense of that is in the same way that Isho Mishim Amon was La Dafka. No.
I feel like you could not.
No, as our reader, right? The sure. Sensitivity to the direct meaning of the words. What do you say?
I think you could offer the exact opposite like conceptual read, which is that both of those categories of Chetiyav and Mamono are neither of them are literal, and both of them just are substitutes for Adam and Niskeimah. So if you're gonna assume that neither of them has a literal meaning, then why would you understand Chetiyav as not Adam?
It's pretty clear that Tosfos in Perek is saying that mamon is not referring to just the category of mamon, things that you own, but it has this connotation of takala, so you're liable for your hazards.
Right.
Okay. So I'm saying that isha misham chitza would mean something analogous, that you're liable for the destruction that you cause, or that you create.
But Tosfos in Perek is still saying takalato is referring to niskei mamon.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I don't think he thinks this is a description of Niskei Mamon. He thinks this is something related to Bor. So Takalasa refers to Bor and Ish. I don't think he would refer to Shor, Karen, Chain, Regal as Takalasa.
Right, but that's the whole identity of Bor, is that you can't own it, and therefore it's Takala.
Right, but he thinks, I don't think it's true to say that Takalasa is meant to pick out the category of Mamon. It's, okay. If anything, it's like a subset, or... That's my response to it's either distinct from Mamon or it's a subset of Mamon. That's how I respond. Either it's just a kosher b'shem echad me'arishonim is very good, right?
That's right.
So he has on me this mode. Okay.
So wild.
So I think one way of trying to test this question, we saw this again on Monday, we'll just be more explicit about it today, about whether the Isha Mishim Chitzav is an Ish halacha or an Adam Mazik halacha, would seem to be whether you think the Ptur Taman Be'ish should apply in cases of Mishim Chitzav. And we saw the Shulchan Aruch, who said explicitly that there's no Ptur Taman in Isha Mishim Chitzav. The Gra read the Rambam, and I think the Gra is right in his reading of the Rambam. And even in cases of Isha Mishim Chitzav, there is going to be a Ptur Tama. What that seemed to reduce to was Machlokes between the Sma and the Gra, about whether you think the Pasuk of Kiseitze Eish refers also to Isha Mishim Chitzav cases. The Gra thought yes, but also the question of Chai Mishim Chitzav Poter Tama. I think that implies that Isha Mishim Chitzav is clearly an Eish Halakha, not just an appeal to Adam Hamazik, an actual Eish Halacha. The Sma disagrees and says, no, the Pasuk is really talking about Isho Mishum Mamono. The cases of Rabbi Yochanan and Isho Mishum Chitza, that's already a totally different Pasuk in the Torah and a different area of Kosher Mishpat. So the Pasuk is confined to cases of Mishum Mamono, and then the Ptur Taman would be limited to these cases as well. I think this Machlokes would be a very clear nafkamina to... whether you think it's an Eish Halacha or Adam Halacha.
There are ways it can be an Eish Halacha, like some sort of hybrid. I mean, it could be that something along the lines of, in order for it to rise to the level of Adam Hamazik, you need an Eish Halacha, and you need it to be, you need to say an Eish Halacha that Kohach and Murav Bo is neutralize that factor, which is an Eish Halacha. And then once you neutralize that factor, then the hezek is a Hamazik type.
So it sounds like in that case, though, you would think that there should be no Ptur Taman
there should be a return timeline. Well, I'm not sure. You might be able to go with Waze. I'd say maybe there should be a return timeline. Because
I think an H is just a way of getting you to Adam HaMazik. It's like a Gila Milsa. And I would think that you would not have a Ptor Tamun once you're at Adam HaMazik.
It's more than just a Gila Milsa, maybe. I mean, you need it to be, you need a Chiyo Kishon Mamono to activate the Chiyo Kishon Kiko. Something like that.
Yeah, I think it would have to be like fleshed out further.
Yeah.
I see like the direction where you're going, but I think if your point is just the Gilei Milsa to get you to Adam HaMazik, and once you're at Adam HaMazik, there's no Ptor Tam in front of HaMazik. That's what I would think. And if you think the Ish is doing more substantive work, it's not just getting you there, it's actually creating a category that is already on the border of Isha Mishim Chitza being an Ish Halacha. So the question is whether you could reasonably carve out that middle ground. I just want to point out that if you read this long passage from Rav Samson of Paul Hirsch in his Perish Al Torah, so take a look just to skim this for a second. So he talked about there are two categories of Ish, Mishum Amono, Mishum Chitza. His description of Isha Mishum Chitza, tell me what you think. What do you think his description is? You think he thinks it's an Adam HaMazik category?
Does he have an Adam HaMazik?
What?
Does he have an Adam HaMazik?
We could look there separately, but just from this paragraph, what do you think?
Seems like he's wielding a weapon, no? Not sure, Mazik. So who would feel so good?
Seems like you're setting the condition.
Yeah, so when I read this also, I think he means that it's like an Adam HaMazik halacha, right? That was my impression. Like Shehu Hefil Yada, Pula Samash, and Nashat Masi Yada. But then I thought it was strange at the end.
But the facilitator.
Right, the facilitator, the person.
You created the facilitator.
Does he feel being created, or does it?
So he says, "The Hain of the Ish Nashav as Hamash here." So the Ish is like
the
medium. Shehu Hifil Osa Viado.
It's a puppet.
You created the facilitator.
Right. Ula Hamash here Nashav as Hamash Viado. And the actions of the fighter are considered your actions.
Why are you saying Hifil gets created?
You're moving, or.
What is it?
But I thought it was interesting that at the end of the piece over here, he says, could just be he and Siva Shulchanaruch. He says, according to everyone, Chayev Gam Al Tamun. Oh, so he's consistent. Right, he's consistent. He didn't see the Rambam. Right, so he thinks that everyone would agree that once you go to Isha Misham Chitza, you're Chayav Al Tamun. But that makes sense under his assumption that it's a Maizayada, it's Adam HaMazik. That's why he thinks once you rise to the level of Adam HaMazik, so you would not have a Ptor Tamun, because a Ptor Tamun is an Isha Maka. Although the Rambam and the Gra clearly disagree, right? They recognize it can be Isha Misham Chitzav, and nevertheless think that there's a Ptor Taman. Lahore, because they think that the Ptor Taman is not an Adam HaMazik halacha, it's an Isha halacha. Okay? So you see that the reason why he thinks that everyone would have to agree Isha Misham Chitzav is Chayav the Taman is because he thinks Isha Misham Chitzav is an Adam HaMazik halacha. Not only is justified in thinking that everybody thinks Isha Mishim Chitav is Chayav Al Tamun, but you see how the two pieces of his argument fit together. Okay. The other nafkamina here seems to be. You're on board for that reading out of the Tantra Porsche? Yeah. I think it's, but you see, you'd have to resist that, right? On your reading, you'd have to say, oh, okay, still be at the mamazik. But since Aish is like a gilei milsa, a relevant gilei milsa, somehow Tamun gets smuggled into Ptur Nizkei Adam as well. The other way of testing, so if you're the nafkamina that test whether it's Adam Halacha or whether it's part of Nizkei Aish, is this question of Chiyuv Misa. Right? Could you be held criminally liable as a rotseach if your Aish goes ahead and kills somebody? So we saw this Smat Hoskins that you could be held Chayiv Misa. Ki'ilu yara bo chetz. I think that would work very nicely if you think we're back in the category of Adam Hamazik. You're an Adam Sharatzach. I want to point out, because what Isaac was asking on Monday, that there really is a machlokas we've shown him here, whether this is true. The Gemara Daf Beis Amud Aleph talks about a case where you're madlik as a gadish, v'haya gedi kafaslo v'eved samachlo v'nisrach imo, so then you're chayiv. But eved kafaslo v'gedi samachlo v'nisrach imo father. The idea is that if you, in your fire, kill somebody who's tied down, so he was really killed by your fire, you couldn't have escaped, so you're pater from the tashlume mamon, because kimle v'javmine, as the Rashi says. Kalorim should be kimle v'javmine. So since you're liable for murdering the Eved, you're pater from mamon. But the fact that he feels kimle v'javmine implies that there's a real liability in hilchos rotzeach. If you weren't chayiv hilchos rotzeach, then you couldn't, what's the chiyuv? Right, he says, he has a question about whether it's actually at the same time, but he thinks that the point you're making is Chayiv B'Nafshei while Eved. Right? So the Rashi definitely reads the Gemara to indicate that there is a Chayiv Misa for Isha Misha Mechitza to murder somebody. No.
You can say this according to both approaches. According to the approach that it's Hamazik.
Wait, hold off. One second. Let me get the other view after I quote this. The Ran disagrees. The Ran has Sanhedrin that Ein Zion is. He says, you can't compare Nizkei Mamon to Rotzeach. He says, because Rotzeach has more kulas than his skin. For example, in Rotzeach, we don't equate Shogek and Mezid, and Adam Mahazik, we do. He says, what about the Isha Misha Mechitza? Okay, so in Yan Isha, Nami afal gav de mishum chitzavu with the kaimel and hachi v'chayev ba'arba tvarim mikhamakum lo mechayev misa. You can't be held mechuyev misa for killing somebody with isha mishum chitza. Ela imke nafal l'socha or v'kavsho sham, unless somebody fell into your fire and you actually held him down to burn in the flames. O shedokho l'or v'ein yachalalos misham v'ovid ha'isa mamish. The Ran thinks in order to be held liable for killing somebody with a fire, you have to have either pushed them into the fire in a way that they can't escape, or that you held them down in the fire. Because then you did an ma'aseh mamish. So he clearly thinks that isha misha mechitza, lighting the fire, doesn't constitute a ma'aseh mamish to hold you liable for tzicha. So this, I think this implies, and even his characterization of the problem suggests that we're not back in the category of just Maisa Adam in conjunction with the laws of physics. Right? If anything, the reason why you're having Isha Misha Mechitza is within the category of Eish. It's an Eish Halacha, and that's a Nizkei Mamon issue. But you have no raya that you could ever have a Rotzeach conclusion from Hilchos Eish or Isha Misha Mechitza. Isaac.
I mean, unless you don't think that having a Maisa is a distinguished character.
Yeah, so you could say maybe Avin Maisa is something special about Ritzicha.
Right.
That's not the impression I get from the Ran. I think the impression I get is that for Adam Mazik you need some sort of Maisa. Right, that's the basis for liability. And he's saying that even the H case is not a Maisa Adam. It's a special din of Isha Misha Mechitza. That's the... Maybe we should think, when we get back to Adam Mazik, we should check whether Asa Maisa is really a material condition. It's not my impression as of now. So, does everybody see the Machlokas here? And this, I think this is a very nice way of fleshing out whether Isha Misha Mechitza is a H halacha or a Adam halacha.
There's no reshown that's that holds in between position that says it's clearly this game I want, but because it's such a severe this game I want, you treat it like I don't, therefore it's higher than that.
It's interesting. So I take no position on that question, right? Meaning, all I'm showing here is that on the assumption that you're putter from Misa, it means it's not other mamazik. You're asking a very different question. You're saying on the assumption that you're chayiv Misa in the Rashba, is it possible that you're chayiv Misa qua severe category of niskemama? It's a very interesting question. It would be a huge chiddush. Because usually for niskemama, at best you have a chiyuv kofar. Right? But you're saying maybe like the ish, the severity of ish is like so strong that it could be a category of niske adam, of niske mamon, which results in a chiyuv misa. What do you guys think of Noah's suggestion? It'd be a huge chiddush if it's right. What do you guys think of it? Noah's saying maybe even the sma who says, so you see why it doesn't affect my art, it doesn't affect what I'm trying to bring out. You're not trying to bring out an assumption that you're potter, you see it's not really a mamazik. Unless you say something like Isaac's trying to say. But in the sma, you want to say, chayel misa kilu yar bo chetz, maybe even on the niske mamon interpretation, there's room to say that you can be held criminally liable as a rotseach because you're the baal mashkis.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
I think
we can
say that.
What?
The Gan Bala Limas were kind of like a riot to that now.
Right, like in principle, the liability is there. So, H, which is more in a short case, you could redeem it through Kofar. But maybe in an H case, that's a very interesting suggestion. We have to keep our eyes open for it. Yeah, I think it's a good suggestion. Isaac, I'm listening here.
I mean, but then isn't this going to kind of become semantics at that point? Why is it being like your Chayav Misa for Nizke Mamon for age because you did it versus your Chayav Misa for age because you did it and Nizke Adam? What's the difference between those?
There's some interesting discussion. So suppose you hold that. Well, so it'll explain some shita. So
there's a question. Onus is a practical non-practical. Yeah, very
good.
That's better practical.
Yeah, maybe, but maybe you're
fired
from this guy, Mamon. So,
what if you find somebody who's Mahalik? So, there's some discussion. So, the Rambam thinks that you're putter for Tamun, Be'isha Mishim Chitzav. But what does the Rambam hold about Ritzicha?
What does the Rambam hold about Ritzicha?
So, it's not clear. We have to. Well, when we get to this again, Fabbez, we'll look into this more. But I'd say that would be a reason to move towards Noah's position, right? If you want to explain. There's some question also, are you Chayiv for Misas Adam HaTamun Be'esh. So someone's sleeping in the under the loft with the tzvua covering him. So would you be fine in that? That's a little more complicated.
It's worth more.
Okay. So I think
the show is assuming that the negative question of Isham Shumrita is pertinent to the discussion about whatever type of Misas?
So you see, Rishonim, no one writes.
Well, the Ram is very explicit. The Ram thinks that is the factor to consider when you're determining the Chiyuv Misa here.
The Misa.
Huh? So the Ram and I
in Sanhedrin.
And so it's clear that he thinks that one of the important determining factors as to whether or not the Chiyuv Misa is going to be the Mechayev of Asia of Nezek. Because he quotes
Isha Mishon Chitza can never make you a Ritzayach.
Yeah. Right, yeah, let me say, my point is, it's an assumption that the case of Ritzicha should be enlightened by the standard of Nezek. And that's an assumption that one could not make. One could say that fundamentally Misa is a totally different consideration than Nezek, it has nothing to do with it.
Unless you think that Isha Mishim Chitza is Adam, is a Maisa Adam halacha.
Yeah, exactly. That's all.
And once you, if you think it were Adam Mazik, you're really just trying to figure out is it a Maisa Adam? And then just see what's damaged, it's on a mazik, was it a tzicha?
Yeah, but even the Rav, in the same sense, in Atayat Misa, says, Ishum Shulchitza, but in Atayat Misa. The very appeal of Ishum Shulchitza is an assumption which collapses to Sugiyas, and that what's pertinent to Nezek is pertinent to Misa. But it's not an assumption that one has.
You're saying even within Maisa Adam, you could distinguish between Maisa Adam Shiratzach and Adam Shah.
Yeah.
Right. So. That we'll get to when we talk about Adam Mamazik. Okay, so another nafkamina of this question, which I guess is very similar to the one we just saw, is whether you want to extend Isha Mishim Chitza to other areas of Halakha. Or some focus between the Ran and the Rosh was whether you extend it to what Zayach. Nubi Yosef has probably the most notorious question in Rishonim and Bava Kama. If you hold Isha Mishim Chitza, how could you ever light your Shabbos candles before Shabbos? It's as if, like, you know, every moment you're doing the Maisa and Laka and your Machal Shabbos that way. Right. The famous Kasha of Mubei Yosef. The question assumes that Isha Mishim Chitza is somehow pertinent outside the world of Mezikin. Right? So it seems to be like it takes a stand on the metaphysics of Maisa Adam. If you think that Isha Mishim Chitza is a halacha in Hilchos Eish, that Eish is so destructive that for purposes of liability we treat it as your Maisa, this kasha never gets off the ground. Right? So clearly the Rubi Yosef has a conception of Isha Mishim Chitza as some sort of Maisa Adam. He gives an answer. He answers his question, but the question is not the answer that I just gave. Right? And no.
Can you explain Rubi Yosef again?
He's saying, how can you light candles on Erev Shabbos if it's considered your Maisa all the way through? Right? You light the fire. Everything the fire does is your action. So you're lighting a fire on Shabbos as long as your candles are burning.
I think it's a great question, but I think it's a bad question.
Right, I think it's a notorious question.
No, but it's silly. It's like there's like a recognition that like there are different areas of halacha, different things, like mechitza on Shabbos.
But you see, he thinks that Isha Mishim Chitza is like it's your continued action. It's a Maisa Adam halacha. It's not something special to liabilities for the purposes of dealing with dangerous and destructive materials. Right? Well, yeah, so maybe we should draw the line. The Rishonim are up to the Mugei Yosef.
How does he answer it?
He says, oh, what it means is that everything is like, it's your Maisa, but like the wrong is committed in your Maisa. It's like when you shoot the bullet, the guy's dead when you pull the trigger. That's what he wants to say. So. The answer is more offish than that.
So when you, he's not saying that when you light candles, it's as if you're lighting it on Shabbat already.
Right, he's not saying that. He's saying it's as if the candles are like fully burnt on Erev Shabbos.
Fully burnt.
Oh, it's a kasha. Maybe not Yotze, but it's Nero. So we'll get there. We can talk about some cases and we'll get to home base. Okay, the next naf, that's clearly nafkamina of this question. The next nafkamina is something we mentioned on Monday, we're going to have to flesh out, is whether you should be liable for Isha Mishim Chitzav Be'ones Uveshogeg. Right, so we know the category of Adam Hamazik is Adam Mordiola, Bein Be'ones, Bein Be'shogeg. What are Isha Mishim Chitzav? Should that be Bein Be'ones, Bein Be'shogeg? Right, so if you think it's a special Eish Halacha, then you don't have to be committed to the Shogeg and Ones liability of Adam Hamazik. So here at the Pesach Choshen, he just points out, Lo matzasi behedya be'eish she'yesh bo mishim chitzav, im chayev gam b'shogeg u'ones. So he says he hasn't seen anybody explicitly take a stand on whether you're chayev isha mishim chitzav b'shogeg u'ones. That would imply... And he says, Shalom matzinu sheripsa Torah shogeg u'ones, ela ba'adam hamazik, mamish. So that implies that he thinks that Isha Mishim Chitza doesn't really get you to Adam HaMazek. Aval lo b'shar avos. Mikamokha mikamachuyah v'dal advarim mashma dinok Adam HaMamish. Says from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Gemara says that you're chayav Isha Mishim Chitza for dal advarim, that would imply chayav gam b'ones v'shogeg. So he's really not, sounds like he's mesupuk exactly on this question. Right? Does it make sense to speak about Isha Mishim Chitza as its own mechayav of Hilchos Eish? In which case, there's no raya to say that you're liable to show you bonus. Or do you say the whole point of the Gemara is to bump you up to the category of Adam Hamazik, in which case you should be chayav bonus to Bishogig as well.
Couldn't you have made up a different hara?
What?
Couldn't you have made up that it was a different hara?
Is it the same hara?
Same
hara, yeah. It's a few interesting haras there. He actually he points out this diak in the next Mubei Yosef. Let me just find out that. Whatever what you say in answer to this question, whether you're potter Isha bonus of the show, is going to force you to take a stand on interpreting why Aish is Pater Baruch in Mitsuya. Because remember, you're only liable for Aish Baruch Mitsuya. So if you think that you're Chayav Ba'onis of a Shogeg for Aish, you have to have some sort of explanation for why you're Pater Baruch in Mitsuya independent of Anas. You see that? So one of the moves is to say that it's only Mugdar as Aish. It's only Mugdar as Aish Isha Mishim Chiza if it's Ruach Mitsuya, and only then do you consider that it's Adra Hamadze. It's going to be important.
Silly answer.
What?
It's an answer, but it's not impressive.
What?
I don't think it's a bad answer.
You're saying this, the question still persists, so something has to be said. I mean, Isaac, you disagree with that?
Yes, yeah, right.
You think it's a sufficient answer?
Yeah, of course. Like, you can't consider your force when something unexpected causes it to go somewhere.
Ah.
So
it's no longer your fate when it's Ruach Shein Mitsuya.
And no one would consider your fate if you shot someone in a 7,000 mile an hour wind blew
right.
away and killed someone.
But it's Ruach Shein Mitsuya, it's no longer.
That's gravity plus the
object.
Could you extend the same story to all of us? To all of us in Shogeg? Could you say that your putter and age is bonus in Shogeg? Even though it's not all of us, it's
trajectory
plus. It's like a Ruach Shein Mitsuya.
It's all an unexpected.
No, it's like your view earlier, almost, right? It's
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you hear Yakir's suggestion?
What
do you say? Yakir wants to know, maybe you could somehow say it is Adon HaMazik, but when it's Anus, when it's a case of Anus, then it like destroys the Isha Mishim Chitzav analogy, right?
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Something like that.
So the question is going to be, though, what happens in a case where the anos is consistent with Isha Mishim Chitzav. So look at this movie. I think this would be a case of the anos is consistent with it being Isha Mishim Chitzav. So the Mugi Yosef talks about a case.
Why would that be the case? If you're anos, we don't consider it kopma.
So the anus like gets nips it in the bud before you get isha mishim chitzav. The question is going to be though, just what happens in a case where it's isha mishim chitzav, but some anus involved in that, right? So tell me what Yakir, tell me what you think about this case then. So he says isha mishim chitzav ilu haya chitzav mechubanim al gabi hakeshes. It's as if you have the arrow drawn on the bow, the hakeshes biyado. The lone is kavin lezarkam, ela she pasha behu, veholchu mikocha me'aleim shalom bekavana shulchayev. So it's a case where you have like that bow and arrow drawn, you didn't mean to release, and you accidentally released. So he says that's the case, and you and ela she pasha behu, you're at fault or somehow, and you released. Well, so he's just talking about isha mishim chitzav. He's commenting on that line in the Gemara. It says isha mishim chitzav. What's the analogy? So when you light a fire, it's like you had the bow drawn, and you released accidentally. So the Pesach Chilushin actually, he quotes this, and he says, some people are medayik, that, he says, pasha bahu, like you accidentally released. But let's say you were unwisen released, because you had like a muscle spasm or something. So maybe you can medayik in the Mukha Yosef, but you wouldn't be liable in that case.
Well, even in the case of an actual chitzav.
Right. So it sounds. Well, he's saying the. Well, it's a bad deal.
Yeah.
Why? He's saying maybe. I'm not sure what he's saying the actual case.
Did the movie Yosef underline your question in something?
No, I underlined it for the presentation. I think he's trying to say that the fire. So I think he's trying to say, look, this is analogous to the fire case. And in the fire case, if you were not Hoshea in the fire god of hand, you were Anos in the fire god of hand, then you wouldn't be liable. Right? His whole point is that this case is analogous to the fire case. This case is a case where you're Hoshea, so too the fire case must be a case where you're Hoshea. But if you're Anos, then maybe it's a basis for being Pater. Right? So it depends if you like this Diag or not.
So according to the Diag, so how does that work out?
So with the diuk, it sounds like you're putter isha misham chitza bonis.
Right. Is that because of not the matzik? Is that a claim?
Yeah, I would think so. And the question is, does Yakir's defense work in this case to say that in this case you never even get to the level of isha misham chitza because it's like a ruach shein mitzuya. That's what you're trying to say, ruach shein mitzuya, right? It's not even.
But you clearly can't say.
What?
You clearly can't say it's not isha misham chitza. The idea is that in the case of
pizza, but it's not, so I'm not sure if the Nimuke Yosef wants to commit.
Not
so,
pizza
right, so that's what I'm not sure if the Nimuke Yosef wants to commit to anything substantive about that case. Because then I think Yakir's could be right and say, well, look, Adam is more the Olam. So if Adam is more the Olam, you got to be chayav when you shoot the arrow, even bonus.
You're rejecting the Diyak, but I'm saying if you take the Diyak.
Right? Okay. Which Diyak?
Like if you are Medadi,
that Pasha
means
Daf
Pasha.
No, I'm taking the Diyak.
What?
I'm accepting the diuk.
Okay, you're accepting the diuk.
And yet you're saying the diuk is a bad diuk because it implies that even in a case of Adam Amazik, you should be pater bonus.
Rechitza, not.
Rechitza Mamish.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you could have to say that.
You have to say that?
Hey, you're pater for bonus.
Okay, I don't want to say that.
That's that is what the diuk is.
No, I think the diuk says, so there's an analogy between Isha Misham Chitza and Chitza. The analogy, the H part, is like this case. But the qualification of Pasha is not for the purposes of the Hates case or the H case. It's like he's just using it as an analogous illustration, but he's not making any substantive claims in the fairy tale illustration. Right? So, Marisa,
is that what the Diak is?
Well, the Diak is that he says Shep Pasha.
I don't think. Is that how the
that's definitely how the Pisgah approach. That's a diuk that he quotes, yeah. So, it depends if you like this diuk or not. But and then if you like the diuk, so do you have to be worried about Yakir's objection that, well, that destroys Adam Mazik in a Hates case? I think you don't have to be worried about that. And then further, do you think that this is analogous to Ruach Shein Metsuya? I think it's disanalogous to Ruach Shein Metsuya. Right? Because I think here it's clearly considered your Maisa, right? You drew the bow and you're ready to shoot. How you released it just means you did the Isha Misham Chitza bonus. I don't think that means that it's no longer your Chitz.
Right, unless you say that the whole analogy to Chitz just breaks down if there is bonus. Meaning, in the case of chitza, there's no barach and ruach bo. In the case of ish, there is barach and ruach bo. So if you assume that this is kind of, I guess, an extension of what you would say is ruach shein mitzuya like, but if you assume that in any onus case of ish, then on balance, the barach and ruach bo is primary and overrides whatever element of kofo there is, then there's no analogy to the case where there's only kofo.
Right. Right. So there's some room to think about this case, though. But I'm bringing it in most basically just to show that maybe there's a Shittim Rishonim that seems to take a stand that you're potter for Isha Misham Chitza Bonis. Okay. Let's get to the next section. Now, do you want to
say? Tangential questions.
So, maybe you want to hold off on 10 minutes okay. So we keep the running it back down. So, the next nafkamina to whether it's an Adam Halacha or an Eish Halacha is arguably this discussion in the Achronim and the Rishonim about whether you can talk about Isha Misham Chitza, and Liad asked this on Monday, can you talk about Isha Misham Chitza in a case where you didn't light the fire? Right? So the Chazon Ish in Hilchos Shechinim says almost explicitly, first of all, that Eish is chashiv kimo kocho, kivan shehu ha'adam hu ha'mamsi l'ruach shiyolech es ha'eish. So it just sounds like he's saying that Eish is considered Koko. Right? That sounds like an Adam HaMazik category. Like Isaac said on Monday, it's just your mice in conjunction with the laws of physics.
So presumably you think you're a pastor in that case where you don't start
the fire. It would seem like this, right?
But is he addressing that case?
He's not addressing that case yet, sorry, it's just his description. Reb Chaim and Hilchos Shechinim in Perek Yud Aleph has a different conception of Isha Misha Mechitzav. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about this machlokes later when we get to the sugya. But I just want to derive one thing from Farnai. When you're lomar devemes after you know Isha Misha Mechitzav, aval ze harei lo chidishlan rak to have a ki ilu hu baatzmo asa samaisa uchemosha yarachetz. Aval ze harei lo matzinu klal bechitzav shiya chashuv nasa hamaisa mikocho. Ela ze chashuv shiya asa hamaisa b'yadayim aval lo shiya nasa mikocho. So you can see, it sounds like Chaim and Chaznishi are really just quibbling whether Isha Misha Mechitza makes a kilu with your maisa or whether it makes it as if you're kocha. It's clear that the Chaznishi has a much stronger conception of Isha Misha Mechitza, right? It's your koach. Reb Chaim wants to deny that it's your koach, but wants to say it's considered your maisa. What? Well, there are the areas in halacha where you need koach. Like for shechita, if you drop a knife or something, is that kind of chef? Is that considered kocha? Those kinds of things. But the point is, the Chaznish clearly sees it as a strict koach u'maisa adam. Reb Chaim tries to dilute it and say it's a maisa not a koach. This opens the door, the Reb Chaim at least opens the door for. So it seems like, according to the Chaznish, it would be very difficult to say that a fire that you did not light should be considered Isha Misha Mechitza, right? The point of Isha Misha Mechitza is that it's your koach. Tosfos.
That's just confusing. Isn't Reb Chaim
even more expensive? Yeah. Reb Chaim is more
expensive. But he's lowering the bar. He's saying it doesn't reach the higher threshold of being
a co-op. But more things constitute. Isn't that very counterintuitive? It's a lower bar of what you're contributing to the fire than it usually be more
hotter,
sir. It should be narrower scope of field. More. Does it? Yeah. He's saying
it's not
even a
co-op. It's less of your maisa, so more cases qualify. Yeah, it's lesser your maisa, so there's chaim in more cases.
Yeah.
You mean
it's more artificial, right? It's more of a tenuous connection between the maisa and the adam, between the
ishma.
Tosos, though, on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, says explicitly on Isha Mishim Chitzav, Lo she yavir ba'atzmo ha'esh, ela kol mokom shepasha v'lo shamar gachalaso chitzav ninu. So Tosos explicitly expands Isha Mishim Chitzav to cases where you're negligent and aren't shomer the gachalas. Even in a case where you didn't light it yourself. So if you think that Isha Misha Mechitzav is about Koach Adam, your Maisa in conjunction with the laws of physics, it's very difficult to understand where Tosos is coming from. And Ibn Chasina quotes this almost verbatim, right? Mano Isha Misha Mechitzav, Kol Mokom Shepasha V'lo Shamar Gachalasa, Afilu Lo Hitle Koish Ba'atzma Chai Misha Mechitzav. So I think whether you recognize that these kinds of cases can constitute Isha Misha Mechitzav, l'chora depends on whether you think it's just an extension of Maisa Adam, in which case it's very difficult to explain Tosfos and Chasina, or whether you think it's an Ish category, which we artificially bump up to the category of Adam HaMazik for the purposes of holding you strictly liable. I think on that latter interpretation, you can make a much better sense of this Tosos and
I'm assuming people do this, whether it's great or not.
Yeah, so we'll see more on that Gemara in Daf Chav Beis. Yeah, but it is controversial. A lot of Achronim, I didn't quote them here, but a lot of Achronim think that you have to make sense of this Tosos and somehow that really means you didn't create you didn't light the disastrous fire right away. You lit a flame in your oven, which is contained, and then later you were like, poshe, and turned into like a big fire. So they want to say, oh, you know, in Tosos, you have to read it as there's a way of like connecting it to your maisa somehow. But it's going to be very difficult when you look at that case in the Gemara. So. Okay. So I think that's the presentation for, I think, the clearest positions in the Rishonim that take a stand on the nature of Isha Misha Mechitzav as Eish Halacha. Have it on board? So yeah, Leah, did I soften you up to the...
Yeah.
Okay.
No. No? So, however, my point is not an important point. My point is more like...
You shouldn't feel... Just because I destroyed your point, you shouldn't feel it's not...
You didn't address my point.
Okay.
My point is less of a conceptual point. It's more of like a textual
It's an academic point.
Not academic.
Because he's reading the German version, so he thinks...
Yeah. Very good. Okay, I think that's enough to make the case, at least for the basic position, that Isha Mishimchitza is like the equivalent of Shnei Dvar Masa Makasov Kilo Bershusos. Tasa Makasov Ki'ilu it's Chitza for the purpose of holding you strictly liable. And again, the explanation for that is because of Devar HaMashvis. Okay, one final comment on the Ptur Tamlin, and then we can wrap up the discussion of Aish. So on Monday we had a very lively discussion about whether it's possible for the Ptur Tamlin to result in a windfall for the Nizak. And fine, it's not going to be a windfall, but at least that the Nizak will gain something through the Ptur Tamlin. So Pisei Choshen has something to say, but we know that we shouldn't take him seriously. So he says, Upashet, and we know Upashet means you have no raya. That's a general rule. Upashet demashe kasav shemishalim ke'ilu haya male, hainu kshatamon haya shabe kidme hagaloi, upachas imenu. Avalam haya shabe pachas me hagaloi, einu mishal yoshimashi is it. So the Pisei Choshen here says Pashe without a raya, doesn't even quote a source. He just says it's obvious that you can never pay more than the actual Neza.
I think we'd all be fine saying that this is not a raya toward us, but it is certainly not a raya toward you.
I said you retract in your earlier statement that. So. But anyway, he's the only person to weigh in clearly on this position.
It is going to be amazing.
Well,
it is
really hard. Yeah,
you really should include the Pisei Choshen in your CV.
Well,
that's
not me. Who would? We'll see. It's not definitely not me.
There's a lot of things he doesn't include in the CV. So. I'll be surprised as well.
All right, yeah, that's enough for me.
Gotta get the Rona Masala back here.
That's all right. Okay, so that was one. I disagree with the Pisei Choshen. I think there are good reasons to say that the Ptur Tamlin could result in a gain for the Nizak more than the Maisa Nezek. So, but I'm not going to. We already hashed that out last on Monday. We're not going to revisit it today. What I did want to conclude with is what's the basis for the Ptur Tamlin? So we saw the Ralbag and Shmos Chafiz. You know, seemed to punt at this question, and he said, oh, you're not chayav on tamlin because the Torah only mentions the revealed things for Aish, right? And we had a rule that if the Ralbag can't give an explanation for something, then it's going to be very difficult to find an explanation. And here the Ralbag, kicks it up to the Xeris HaKasiv. But I was trying to show on Monday that there may be a good argument for the Ptur Tamlin. That's based off Rashi's comment in Bava Kama Chaf Gimel and Tosos and Rabbeinu Tam's comment in Sefer Yashar here. They both say that the reason why you patur on Tamlin is the lo havale la suke adayde. That the Mazik could not have foreseen that those things were buried there when he lit the fire. Chor Shors, also one of Bali Tosos Sal Torah, says this even more explicitly. He says, "Shalim Yishan Rabbi Zaver, Shahayil Lishmar Eishli Ina Pitoch Shelo, Vilase Slave Al Hanesek Shav Eish Yochalasos." Whenever you light a fire, you should be cognizant of the potential destruction that the fire might cause. And because of that general principle, every time you light a fire, you should be aware of the surroundings, of the potential risks. Lefikach Patra Torah Tamon Beish, Shal Hatamon Lo Hayilol Nitamli. So, I think what's going on here, remember we saw earlier in this Chabura and on Monday, that there's a distinction between Madlik Bisokh Shelo and it gets out of hand, and the case of where you directly burn down your friend's property. Right? You're Chayav Ala Taman in the case where you directly burn down his house. You're Pater Ala Taman in the case where you start the fire in your house and it extends. So I thought this makes a lot of sense under that distinction. So here's the general theory. When you light a permissible fire in your own rishus, so you're expected to calculate the risks of like, well, is it worth it for me to engage in a dangerous activity, creating a fire? So you're supposed to look around, right, and see, well, what's potentially could be destroyed if my fire gets out of hand. It's something that a potential mazik factors into his decision to light even a fire lit tashmishin in his own rishos. So there it's reasonable to say, let him look around, see what, if there are really, you know, if there's a gas pipe right next to his barbecue, then he probably won't want to light a fire there, right? So he's supposed to factor these things into his decision in lighting a fire lit tashmishin. But if it's something that he couldn't see, the gas pipe was like hidden, gas pipe is a bad example, but the precious thing or the dangerous thing or the easily destroyed thing is hidden in his friend's tvua, the madlik cannot have foreseen it, then it's not just to hold him liable to compensate him for, to compensate the victim for that property. Why? Because, again, had he known that that expensive item was tumen there, he may not have incurred the risk, he may not have chosen to not, he may have chosen to not light the fire in the first place. So there is an element of foreseeability in at least madlik b'self shalom.
Why
don't
you kill him in a dark and hot? Well, why would you be punched from dark and hot?
So I think even there, so you might say in a case of, so dark and lahatman is different from knowing that they're tumen there. Yes, people do hide things in their haystack, but you say the Torah doesn't put the burden on a madlik to expect that they're there. Some people do it, but that's not sufficient to say that the mazik had a burden to expect it to be there. Masha Inkein, in the case of your madlik b'silk shel chavero, on the assumption that we developed on Monday, that those are not licensed fires, so those fires should not be created in the first place. Regardless of whether, you know, what risks a person's willing to incur when he lights them. It's not a fire that's created birshutz, for the reasons we gave on Monday. Either the Torah has no interest in allowing those kinds of fires, or people don't exercise the kind of caution because it's not their own property that's at stake. So since those fires are not birshus, so there you never even had the license to make this cost-benefit analysis in creating the fire. So it's not relevant that you're going to be held strictly liable for even things that are tumunim, even things that are buried in the person's rishus. So it's only malik besok shiloh, where the Torah allows you or encourages you to do this risk-benefit, cost-benefit analysis, then foreseeability becomes relevant and it creates a patur. But malik besok shel chavero, where the Torah doesn't have an interest in allowing you to create these fires, and the cost-benefit analysis is irrelevant, then you're going to be held liable for tumen anyway. Donnie.
You say that the malicious fire, it's a little different than how you're saying. The malicious fire makes the person say that he's foreseeing anything that could happen, because since he's being like malicious with the fire, that he has to take into account
everything. He has a greater burden to consider even things that are hidden, possibly hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like the argument, dangerous, if you're involved in dangerous activities,
you're held
to a different standard of liability.
Yeah.
But when you're lighting a fire, the tashmishin in your house, even then you're supposed to do the risk, the cost-benefit analysis. But if things are hidden, then that couldn't have factored into your cost-benefit analysis, etc. So the other two things I pointed out is the chaznish clearly also factors in foreseeability. As the chaznish we saw yesterday at the end on that he thought that someone who, remember this case? So a third party who covers somebody's kalet when a fire is coming, and therefore denies the nizak the ability to get compensation, is chay b'dinei shemayim and patur b'dinei adam. Chazish wanted to know, would that apply also to the madlik esasreifa? The person who created the fire, see chayav din shemayim al tamun, and he said no, because the third party who shavye tamun knows the loss that he's creating for his friend, whereas the madlik doesn't know about the kalim hatamunim. So you see, the chaznish's standard is all about whether it's foreseeable and whether you have knowledge of the thing that's tamun there. So it's consistent with the positions of Tosfos and the idea of foreseeability. I just want to point out finally is that the chaznish in Bava Kama Siman Vav Sivkat and Zion, I just didn't have time to type it up. Chaznish here is Mesupak about at which moment is Tumen relevant? Bishas Hadleka? The moment that you light the fire? Or the moment that the fire consumes something? It's not clear in the Gemara exactly. So the Chaznish We'll look at it. We'll look at it inside at a different point. But on the assumption that it's all about the foreseeability and the cost-benefit analysis of the madlik, it makes a lot of sense that what's tumun when you lit the fire is decisive, right? There are some, you have to finesse some gemaras, but the Chazanish here, the Chazanish at one point thinks that's the right way to go. It's what's tumun when you light the fire. And he has this cute little argument. He says, but once the fire gets to it, it destroys the outside, the inside is nigla, right? It's not tumun anymore, right? If you have a haystack, the outside of the haystack burns down, there's a point later where the tavua becomes revealed, it's galui. So he thinks, oh, that shows you that it's really what's tumun b'shas, the creation of the fire. Okay, so that's it for Eish, Isha Mishlam Chitzav, and the Ptur Tama. Anybody want to raise any questions before we wrap up our discussion of the Dalai Lama's? No.
So, similar to Gore, are there instances where you have Eish that's not fired?
Yeah, so we saw that's the case of Abno Sakino. That seems to be the only real Tolda, but we'll...
Biskei Hoshem doesn't bring up like any, like, contemporary examples of something that would be like Eish.
We'll see. We'll talk about contemporary examples.
Would it just be any natural force?
It's complicated. When we get to Chav Beis, we'll talk more about like what cases might constitute Eish. But for the purposes of our Akdama, I think it's better to table those modern applications. So, okay. Let's wrap up our discussion of the Arba Avos. So, you'll recall that the background for our discussion is to what extent are these four categories heuristics to establish the category of Nezikin, and to what extent is the category of Nezikin constitutive and reducible to these Arba Avos Nezikin. Right, that was the launch, that was the point of departure for this discussion. So the first thing that's important to note is that the Mishnah and the Gemara assume that a tzara shava shebehem implies that there are nezikin that don't emerge directly from one category or another, but there are nezikin that emerge from the combination of two categories. So that itself is, that's how the Gemara interprets the tzara shava shebehem in the Mishnah. Right? That there's a broader category of nezikin which is not reducible to any one or other mazik. So my argument here is that this assumption of tzara shebehem already points you to the general direction that we're dealing with a broader category of nezikin that's more flexible than just the specific four categories. Okay. So the Gemara gives four examples of the tzara shebehem. It appears that this list is not intended to be exhaustive. So one example is the combination of Gor and Eish. So this is the case when you put your Avnos Akino Maso on your roof, and it gets blown off your roof, and it falls to the ground, and somebody stumbles on it in the ground. That's a combination of Bor and Eish. You require Eish, because usually a Bor is stationary. Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek. Here, it doesn't seem to satisfy Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek, because it was put on your roof. But in combination with Eish, it's sufficient to hold you liable. Right? The Gemara has three other cases. The three other cases are not combinations of Bor and Eish, but combinations of Bor and Shor. One of them is the case of a Bor that gets kicked around between a few people's feet before someone stumbles over it. That's the Bor Hamiskalgel Viragli Adam. It's a combination of Bor and Shor. The third case in the Gemara is Poskin people say and bimosakishamin, people who open their sewage hole to let out the sewage from their home onto the street, bimosakishamin. There, even though you're doing it bershus, you're chayiv. So it's a bor because it's an obstacle, but it also requires shor because you're doing it bershus. You have bershus to walk your dog or to walk your ox, and yet you're liable if it causes damage. So to here, you have bershus to drain your sewage onto the sidewalk, but if somebody slips on it, you're still liable. So it's a bor, but most bors are shalom rishus. This was done rishus, and you're liable because it's tzara shaveh of bor and shor. The last case is a case of kosel v'ilan shenafel rishus arabim. You have a tree or a wall that's in your rishus, and then it falls into rishus arabim. So it's a bor, ultimately, because somebody stumbles over it. But initially it was rishus, Right? Initially, you just had a tree in your private property, which is licensed. That's not tchilas asiyas lo nezek. Like Mara says, you could combine shor, which is Bereshus, with kosel ilan shenaflu, and that gets you the liability for kosel ilan shenaflu shesara. So these are the three cases. These are the four cases.
Which two are kosel ilan shenaflu shesara? Which
it's there. It's bor and shor.
Why?
What's that?
Why is it bor and shor?
So at least one reason is because the bor is tchilas asiyas lo nezek. And this is not really tchilas asiyas lo nezek. Right? Because the bor is an ex-ante hazard.
Yeah.
This is not a hazard mirosh because it's a mirosh, and then later it became a hazard. Right? So it's the combination of bor and shor. So to a certain extent, the Gemara thinks these categories are somewhat flexible. I want to point out that the conclusion of the Gemara, I mean, it's not the question is what should we take away from the Gemara's analysis of Tzara Shabbat Shabbat. So the Rush has a machlokas between the Yishin and Abdolin, Yishin Nistapku, and the Limira himself. Three of machlokas, at least three of machlokas in terms of the modality of the decision. It's not clear if there are the Yishin and Stapku, whether they agree to this or specific about it. So, but within the modality, there are definitely three positions. Well, why is that funny? So there, what's the takeaway from the Tzara Shabbat Shabbat? So the Yishin Abdolim seem to think that you're in a case where we combine Eish and Bor, your putter both from you get the Pturim of both of them. So you get the Ptur Talmud from Eish, and you get the Ptur Kalim from Bor. Why? On the face of it seems, because the category derives from both Bor and Eish. It's really a linear combination of both categories. So you also get the Pturim of both categories. The Li Nira of the Rush disagrees.
It's not like a tautology. One second.
Is that a tautology?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. It's not a tautology. Okay? The Li Nira. So I'll say the first view assumes that we're really dealing with a combination of two categories. We're applying both categories, and that's why you have the Pturim of both categories. The Rush disagrees, and he says, the Chol Din Bor Yish.
It was also important to know the first assumes we're dealing with a combination that is the two of them together instead of the combined combination to create something new.
Correct.
It's a combination that creates a new category.
It's a linear combination that preserves the feature of each.
It could be a new category.
Fine. It's a new category that the constituent parts of it are two and they're the two terms. It doesn't create something entirely new.
I would hold off on whether this is a new category. I think right now we just have the descriptive thing. Is it deriving from both categories in the material sense that it applies a term as well? Right? Let's remain agnostic like the metaphysics of whether it's like a combination of two categories or a good category.
We'll get
to the complicated stuff a little later. The Rush seems also to say it's just a cold din bor yishlo. We're actually dealing with it's just bor. And the limud from Eish is just to teach you that you could have a category of bor that moved to get here. Right? So it's just a background consideration that allows us to see this as a bor shel nezikin.
Can you explain how that works?
What?
Can you explain how that works? Like, I just don't want to say.
So it's like if I just...
I don't get the logic of it.
So the logic is you might think that there's something special about bor that it doesn't move.
Okay.
Right? And then we're saying once we know the category of Eish, it makes sense to hold people liable even for moving borrows.
But I just don't understand the logic. Once we know from Eish that you're chayav for moving objects, therefore you can be chayav mishum bor when it moves.
Because somebody stumbles across this. Right? Somebody stumbles over, so it blew it off, the avno sakinamaso off your roof. And then somebody stumbled over the...
But I'm just saying, why do we say that this is bor and Eish expensive, and not this is Eish and bor expensive?
I was listening to NPR yesterday, and... one of these left-wing commentators. They're like, you know, I heard the president say that there's a constitutionally, people who are born in the United States get citizenship. But I've heard that Congress could block it. So I'm going to try an executive order as a Trump said. And the commenter's like, that's like somebody saying, I heard you could cross the Atlantic on a plane, but some people do it by boat, so I'm going to do it by scooter. So that's like similar to the point you were just making. You're saying you don't understand how the Umar gets from Mechayev of Aish to being Mechayev of Shambor.
Yeah, let me explain it. Let me explain it like a little more precisely that you would have thought that all of these factors are relevant to him, and we see that they are not reasons to claim exemption from liability.
Right.
You know, we see that something can move and you're still liable for damages, so clearly being mobile is not a problem.
My point is even though, how do we know that this is Bor and we learn from Ish that we can still be Chayav when he moves, and not that this is Ish and we learn from Bor?
Like, well, last month was a horror, we're like discussing like the primary characteristics of the Avos.
I was saying, why do you think it just falls on like that structure? No, my point is, as primary elements of both Avos, but there still is an assumption it's expanded Bor instead of an expanded category.
Right, so you're saying, why is he prejudiced towards Bor rather than expanded Ish?
Yeah, but I don't mean that in this particular.
So I think it's like a weighing concern. You have to look at the case and see, does it capture the essential Mechayev?
So I think the underlying assumption is it can only ever be one category.
Okay, good. So I think...
And then
I think that's the takeaway of the second tzad. The nearest tzad is that even after the tzad HaShaveh, if you want to hold somebody liable for Nezikin, you still have to be found liable under one of the Avos Nezikin. So you're liable under Bor, you're liable under Shor, you're liable under Ish. So even after the Tzad HaShaveh says that we can be a little more flexible in conceptualizing what Bor is, you could have a moving Bor, we could be a little more flexible in understanding what Aish is, perhaps. But at the end of the day, you're liable under one of the others. That extremely restricts, or significantly restricts, the prima facie expansion of the Tzad HaShaveh. On the face of it, it looks like the Tzad HaShaveh is telling us the general category. According to the Maskana of the linear, it sounds like, no, it's just telling us that we can be more flexible within each category. Whereas the first view, the Geshem HaGdolim, so they hold that, well, that's what Jonah was referencing before, so they think that, it's sufficient to expand the categories to hold you liable for actual combinations of two of those. Something that would fall in between either of, and now you're mechuyev under the general frame. Good.
I'm just saying it's weird. It's like the logic doesn't really like naturally follow. I just don't really say it. I understand why the sheep is valuable insofar as it's a sheep that says even it's not a shove, it's only one of the four categories. Which is like in a vacuum, the logical steps that sheep the rush takes to get there does not make sense.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it later.
Okay.
I just want to wrap this up. I think I could. Well, I'll try to come to you later. Tommy, if you agree.
After my birthday class.
What?
After my birthday.
Okay. The Briskerov's argument we know. Briskerov thinks that the Tzad HaShaveh Shevem establishes a general Mechayev for Nezikin. So there's like a universal category of Nezikin.
Don't we say the Rosh Hashanah
focus? Well, in the modality. The Geisha and Estapku B'dav. But it's not clear what the significance of the Geisha and Estapku is Lamaskana.
Got it.
Right. So the Grizz thinks that there's a general category of a Tzad HaShaveh Shebehem. It seems like the Briskerov thinks that's even more so than in the sense of the Gemara that you could be held liable for a combination of two Avos. Sounds like he thinks there's just a general category of Nezikin. Bor, Aish, Shor are no longer relevant except for in applying the Pturim. And the Pturim are just Gezeres HaKasevs that apply to certain physical descriptions of cases. So if it's an actual description of Aish, you could have a Ptur Tamlin. If it's a physical description of Bor, then you could have a Ptur of Kalin. So the Briskerov's point, what he's trying to explain, is how could the Rush hold that a category is learnt out from the combination of Bor and Aish, and yet only have the Ptur Tamlin of Bor? Sorry, the Ptur Kalim of Bor. What? So his point is that if it's learned out from both Bor and Aish, it should have the weaknesses of both of them, the Pturim of both of them. His answer is that no, because the once we define it as Bohr in the end of the day, it could only have a tour that describes Bohr. The point of the rush is that the ultimate, the physical description is now Bohr. Yes, we learned it out from Aish, but so long as the case doesn't look like Aish anymore, you can't have the Peturim of Aish. That's what the Brisker Rav is getting at.
Wait, what? Where do you see that?
That means it can't have either extreme. It can't have Kulas and it can't have Formulas.
So he says, here. No. So he says, so he says, here's a question, right? Right, so Eish is part of the limud. How can it be held liable more than Eish? The Eish Efshar lechayvinu b'dvarim sho Eish pater aleihem shehein nafish chiyuvayu michiyuv ad Eish. Ulam nira pashut. I don't know, the haraya or something. Had the Eish pater al tamon huze mitzad zer sakasav shatora pater al tamon b'Eish. About the Iker din mazik hare lo shayni tamun me'eno tamun. Vagzeres hakosav as a nemar rak al ish v'lo al masha eno ish. Vagzeres hakosav only applies to cases of ish. L'maskana, the case of avno v'sakino maso shenafu merosh agag is not a case of ish anymore, even though it's learned from ish. V'shaper yafinam avno v'sakino maso shenirom merosh agag v'nafu v'rach mitzvah v'ezigu basur d'nevi mi'chiyuva de ish. Now he has to make a further point. Yes, after the Xeris HaKosav, after the Tzad HaShaga, it only has a shame of Bor. Kibin Delachar HaYafusa, Hare Toras Bor Al Avno Sakino Maso, Velo Toras Eish, Memela De'ena Bafal Xeris HaKosav Shuk Tor Tamon. Meaning, so had you have thought that the Ptur is somehow intimately connected to the Mechayiv, then you have to buy into the position of the Yesh Min HaRishonim. Well, you get the Pturim of both. Because if you apply the Mechayivim of both, you get the Pturim of both. But once you take his position, that the Pturim are special Pturim for certain kinds of cases, unrelated to certain physical descriptions, not for Mechayivim of the Zikin, you can understand why something is learned out from two Mechayivim, but yet it only has a tour of the actual description of the case. That's the Brisker Rav's argument. That's what he's trying to solve. Does everybody see that? So one thing, the plus side of the Brisker Rav is that he's very serious about the general category of the Mechayiv of the Zikin. There is one general Mechayiv. I think the trade-off is that you get this sense that for some reason the Peturim are not related to the Mechayiv. The Peturim just...
Yeah.
Well,
what is your response?
And
how do you explain the rush that the
term
are logically related to the Mechayiv?
In the Yesh
Misha
Omrim?
No, in the rush.
The rush himself?
Yeah.
So I think the rush is just has the conviction that what's in weighing. So you have Avno Sakino Maso Shenafu Merosh Agag.
Yeah.
So in weighing what's significant about Eish and what's significant about Bor, this case only has a significant Mechayiv of Bor. And Eish just helped us understand that we could be a little more flexible in applying Bor.
Yeah, I mean, but...
That's
but the... Isn't the argument that Kofa and Merurbo is a reason to bother Tama? Meaning that deficiency...
So, no, not necessarily, no. So, Tama has to do with, like, what kinds of things were maybe foreseeable by... Mazik, who had a heter to light a fire. And you say, well, should that apply in a case of Avno Sakino Maso Shenafu Merosh Agag? L'chor not. That's how I think the rush would... That's how you'd respond to this girl. Right? Sorry, I went too far. So that's the grids. So the Mishnah Sevarim here. Guys, should we stop here for a minute, or would you rather that we finish? Jonah's guy's eyes are bugging out of his head. What?
My computer died. I said
it was stopped. You're stopping incremental. Okay, so well, that just pushes the wrapping up this discussion for next week, though. But that's it. No, poor guys. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll wrap up this discussion on Monday, but I'm going to send out the new Marmacomos already for our new topic on hopefully tomorrow or Friday.